Say, Amos, this seems like Sunday.
It is Sunday. You see, Andy, we is on the radio now every Sunday on CBS for Rinso.
That's right. Rinso, the new Rinso with Solium, brings you the Amos and Andy Show.
Amos and Andy debuted in 1928, and for more than 25 years, it was one of the most beloved radio shows in America. Factory shifts were rescheduled so people could listen to the show, and hundreds of newborn twins, both black and white, were given the names Amos and Andy. But the show was also controversial. Maureen Corrigan has a review of a new book about the Amos and Andy phenomenon by historian Melvin Patrick Eli.
If Amos and Andy simply manipulated racist stereotypes for laughs, why did prominent African Americans like Roy Wilkins and Duke Ellington praise the show in its early days? On the other hand, if it was a warm, respectful portrait of life in Harlem, why have the names Amos and Andy become as insulting as Sambo and Uncle Tom? Melvin Patrick Eli examines the ambiguous identity of the Amos and Andy show, and refreshingly, he finds that its fans and critics don't fall into the predictable categories. Instead, black and white audiences' responses to Amos and Andy were as complex as their responses to the issue of race itself. For instance, when the TV version of Amos and Andy debuted in 1951, the NAACP was holding its annual convention. The delegates voted to protest the show, but behind closed doors, some of these same delegates confessed they thought the show was realistic and funny. The theme music of the Amos and Andy show came from D.W. Griffith's 1915 movie, The Birth of a Nation, which glorified the Ku Klux Klan. And white racists certainly could find much to laugh at in Amos and Andy's shuffle and jive routines. Yet Eleanor Roosevelt and lawyer Samuel S. Leibowitz, the defender of the Scottsboro Boys, were also devoted fans of the show. The creators of Amos and Andy, Freeman Gosden and Charles Carell, were white. But since they wanted to attract the largest audience possible, they pulled off a careful balancing act in their humor. Gosden played the sweet, hardworking Amos, and Carell the lazy, blowhard Andy. Both men had worked on the stage as black-faced comedians, and they brought aspects of the minstrel tradition into their radio show. When Amos and Andy moved to TV, black actors replaced Gosden and Carell. And as Eli recounts in a painfully funny anecdote, Gosden and Carell took it upon themselves to coach their replacements in how to play their black characters more convincingly. Because Amos and Andy took place in an all-African-American community, the black characters were unusually diversified. Granted, the character called Kingfish was a stereotypical con man, and his wife Sapphire was kind of a mammy figure. But Amos's girlfriend Ruby was dignified and attractive, and Ruby's father, Mr. Taylor, was rich and well-educated. Like the characters, the humor of Amos and Andy also reinforced and overturned racial stereotypes. Listen to this.
Andy, tell me one thing. Is you a Democrat or is you a Republican?
Well, I was a Democrat. But I believe I have done switched over to the Republicans now.
Who is the man that is running against each other this year election time? Explain that to me.
Herbert Hoover, Vesuvius Al Smith.
Herbert Hoover, Vesuvius Al Smith, huh?
Yeah.
Another thing I'm going to ask you. What is the difference between a Democrat and a Republican?
Well, one of them is a mule and the other one is an elephant. That's the way I get it.
I don't know if I'm going to be a Democrat or a Republican, you know it?
Well, what was your ancestors?
My aunt didn't have no sisters.
No, not your aunt's sisters, your ancestors. I mean, how did your old man vote?
Oh, my papa, you mean?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, papa used to always vote for the Democrat.
Well, then if I was in your place, I would vote for the Republican.
How come?
Because I ain't never knowed your old man to do nothing right in his life.
The fact that Amos and Andy are discussing politics makes this an unusual conversation for the time between two black characters. But precisely because black political activity threatened many white Americans, Amos and Andy's talk had to be reassuringly naive. Eli makes the ironic point that the very humanity of Amos and Andy made them seem real, and because people believe their characters, they also believe that their overwhelming ignorance and other stereotypical traits were characteristic of African Americans as a race. Eli's book, The Adventures of Amos and Andy, demonstrates once again that when questions of race arise in this country, the answers are rarely black and white.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Adventures of Amos and Andy by Melvin Patrick Eli.